good to be with you today. And we are continuing through our new sermon series where we're exploring the stories that Jesus told. And so that means for each Sunday for the next couple months, we're going to be examining one of the short fictional stories that Jesus shared throughout his years of ministry. And we call these short fictional stories parables. And these stories are some of probably the most memorable parts of Jesus' teaching, probably in part because they are short, but also because story has this ability to just stay in our minds like other kinds of teaching does not. But I think there's a wrong assumption that is made about these parables sometimes. And that assumption is that these stories are simple, that they're taking maybe like a complex or abstract, unclear idea about theology or morals and bringing it down to a space that is clear and that we can understand it. And I think what's wrong about that assumption is that I find parables really difficult to understand sometimes. And at least I walk away with questions, or at least wonder if I'm actually understanding what Jesus was trying to communicate. They're not like, you know, those stories that maybe you share with children, the tortoise and the hare, or, you know, the boy who cried wolf. These are stories that help us communicate these messages in clear ways. But that's just not the types of stories that Jesus seemed to be sharing when he shared these parables. And I think in part it's because of the context. You know, we're 21st century people listening to stories that were given to first century Jewish people. And so Jesus could make some assumptions about the people he was talking about that it's just not true of us today. You know, he was speaking to their context and he was talking about things that they really understood, they knew quite well. But I don't think that's the only thing. I don't think that fully explains why we may find these parables difficult to understand. So today we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower, and this one's an interesting one because it's a parable about parables. It's Jesus talking about what he's doing as he teaches through these short fictional stories. And so my hope today is that we don't just kind of try to figure out what Jesus was meaning by his words, but we'll also gain understanding about what Jesus was just accomplishing through telling these parables. And I hope that will give us an excitement to really dig in and read these stories that were shared so many years ago, but can have great meaning for us today. So let's read this story one more time. We find it in Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 4. And it says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So I think to understand what this parable is talking about, we have to look at the context. So that means we need to figure out where this story falls in like the larger narrative. Where does this fall in Luke's gospel? And we find this story after Jesus has been going out and telling people all about the kingdom of God. He's been performing miracles. He's been healing people. He's been casting demons out of people. He's been having these dinners, like eating and drinking with a variety of people, all the way from tax collectors to Pharisees. And as he's been sharing his message, he's gotten a number of different responses. Some people have heard and seen what he's been doing, and they've responded in faith. Last week, we heard about one of those women, you know, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. And then there was a bunch of people who really did not like what Jesus was sharing, like the Pharisees. And in chapter 4, there's the people in Nazareth who like tried to throw Jesus off a cliff after he spoke. And then in chapter 6, the Pharisees, they're already bothered by what Jesus is saying. So they come together and they start plotting. They're trying to figure out what they want to do with Jesus. And so then we get to chapter 8, and Jesus is kind of touring around, and wherever he goes, crowds come. They've heard what he's been doing, or they've seen it themselves, and they want to hear him teach. And so he has this crowd just eager to hear the words that he is going to speak, and Jesus opens his mouth and starts talking about farming. And then he finishes his story, and he says the words, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And you're like, what are you doing, Jesus? Like, people have come to hear you proclaim this message. They've been wondering what you've been doing, and you have this perfect opportunity to explain the kingdom of God, and you seem to waste this opportunity. Like, why are you giving a farming lesson? This is your chance. And I think the disciples were probably confused as well, because they came up to Jesus after he tells his story and they go like, what were you talking about? What does this mean? And he replies to them in verse 10. He says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see. And though hearing, they may not understand." So we read that not only is Jesus communicating like in this non-direct way through these parables, but he's doing that to actually conceal his message. Like, as a communicator, that seems like a very strange strategy. But it is a strategy. Because remember, Jesus is talking to a bunch of Jewish people, people who have been awaiting the arrival of the Messiah, people who have been waiting for the kingdom of God to come, and they have assumptions about that. They have preconceived notions of what the kingdom of God is going to look like. They assume that it's going to be a literal, a physical kingdom. You know, God is going to reestablish the nation of Israel. They also assume that when the kingdom does come, it's going to be obvious. No one is going to question whether or not the kingdom of God is here. And so Jesus is traveling around. He's talking about this kingdom. It's not what people are expecting. And so he has this challenge of, yes, introducing the kingdom, but also he's having to work against all these assumptions. He's having to change people's deep-rooted ideas about what the kingdom of God is going to look like. So my question for you is, have you ever tried to change somebody's mind? Like, not about surface level stuff, but like actually change those underlying beliefs about how the world works, or, you know, about a certain situation. Like, have you tried to change somebody's political belief? Have you tried to change somebody's view of how they should respond to COVID restrictions? Have you tried to change somebody's mind about, I don't know, the role of coffee in a morning routine, or like what the best sports team is? Like, direct communication in those moments rarely work. And going up to somebody and saying, "You're wrong," that just like doesn't work. And actually, sometimes I think it has the opposite effect, where, you know, that person kind of feels attacked, and so they really hold on to their previously held beliefs. And so Jesus comes around and he's talking about something that is hard to accept. It's going against people's ideas and beliefs that they've held on for so long. And he's inviting them not just to accept something new or something small. He's actually asking them to see reality in a completely different way. He's asking them to do something about it too. He's asking them to change their behavior, right? This is the upside down kingdom, where all the things that we thought had no value or no importance all of a sudden is being blessed. And things like, you know, wealth and status, that just has no value anymore. And so I'm sure as those first listeners, as the people in the crowd, as the disciples heard Jesus speak in parable, it was probably really frustrating. But there was purpose in it. The other thing about Jesus' message is that it was a dangerous message, right? We already know that from the context. People were trying to throw him off a cliff, and people were already gathering and kind of plotting against him. And so this is the actual message that eventually led to Jesus' death. So there was risk involved in the message that Jesus was sharing. But Jesus does explain to his disciples what he was saying through this parable in chapter 8. And I think as we look at his explanation, it can give us some further insight into his purpose in telling these parables. So verse 11, Jesus says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." So Jesus says that the seed is the word of God, and then those four soils are the different types of hearers who hear God's word or his message. And so based on that, we can realize that God isn't, or Jesus isn't talking about, you know, some kind of abstract or over there idea about morals or theology. Jesus is actually talking about the message that he is sharing in that moment. And he's talking about the hearers, the people who are listening to this message in the moment. And he's inviting them to draw attention to the fact that seed, the word of God, and soil, the hearers, they work in partnership, right? It's not just the role of the seed to grow and produce a crop. Like, the soil has responsibility too. The soil doesn't need to just accept it. It needs to then do something with it, right? Verse 15 says that the hearers need to hear it, but they also need to retain and they need to persevere. And so Jesus knows that the message that he is sharing is not going to be received by everybody. Not everyone is going to accept it. And so he does this unique thing where he shares his message in a way that those who will accept it can understand, and those who will not accept it cannot, right? We see him sharing it with his disciples. Those who will accept it, he gives this message clearly. But then to those who will not, they don't understand. And so remembering the context that this is a dangerous message, right? Jesus was being just clear enough to be able to gather and prepare people for the kingdom of God, but also avoid a riot and also avoid his own death before the time had come, before he reached Jerusalem. So we can view parables kind of like a sifter. You know, that crowd that came, I'm sure there were people that were there that they came and they heard Jesus share this strange story, but they thought, you know what? This kind of makes a bit of a sense. And they were maybe a bit intrigued. And then they went home and they pondered it and they kind of let it sit there and start changing the way that they saw the world, start changing the way they saw reality. Their behavior started changing because of it. And then for those who came and were already a bit skeptical, maybe they were coming actually because they wanted to like point out all the ways that Jesus was incorrect. These parables probably just confirmed in their mind that Jesus and his message was just crazy. So, these parables, they come at a very unique point in history. Because Jesus is sharing about the kingdom of God, the arrival of the kingdom of God, as he is bringing the kingdom of God. He's talking about what he is doing in the moment. And for him to be able to continue doing what he was doing, for him to be able to continue sharing this message that he was sharing, he actually had to keep the message hidden. But we live in a different period of time where we don't have to keep this message hidden, right? Jesus came to accomplish something, and all of that has been accomplished. You know, he came, he died, he rose again, he conquered sin and death. That has been accomplished. He brought the kingdom. And so the question is then, why would Luke and Matthew and Mark and John, why would they think it's important to record these short stories that Jesus told? These short stories that Jesus didn't always explain what they meant, and so they can be confusing. Why would they still include that as they recorded Jesus' life and ministry? And I think there are a couple of reasons. First, the truth still remains today that God's message requires a response. Today, we as 21st century hearers of God's message, we need to do something about it. We need to not just hear, but we need to let it transform our view of reality. We need to let it change our behavior. And that takes effort on our part, right? We need to wrestle with it. We need to examine. We need to meditate on it. We need to obey it. That's actually one of the reasons that I'm most excited about microchurch, because I don't think God's message has ever been something that we're just supposed to hear and accept in a moment. It's like a lifelong journey of hearing, yes, but then obeying and letting this message kind of get into every part of who we are and what we do. It's letting it transform our minds. It's letting it make us think about everything in a different way. And that's the beauty of the parables of Jesus, right? That they actually leave us asking more questions than giving us answers. They keep us curious as we await God's kingdom coming in all its fullness. And then the second piece that I think parables give us today is that it can remind us that God's message is not this message that like we've been given, but then we've also been commissioned to go out and share with others. This message is not flawed and it's not ineffective, even if people do not accept it when we share it with them. Like Jesus, we're going to go out, we're going to share this message of the kingdom, and we're going to get a variety of responses. You know, sometimes we're going to share and people are going to be like that seed that fell on the good soil, and they're going to hear it, and they're going to be intrigued by it, and it's going to grow in them, and they're going to produce this amazing crop. And then others are going to be like the seed that fell on the path, or fell on the rocks, or amongst the thorns. And that can be really discouraging. But we can have peace that we are doing what we've been called to do. We can look at Jesus and realize that's all he did, right? He shared the message and he accepted the different responses. He was the very Word of God in human form, And he accepted rejection. And so don't be discouraged. We can trust God's way of doing it. And we can have hope that while we don't know the end of everyone's story, God does. And so my encouragement for all of us is that as we continue through this sermon series, as we look at these stories that Jesus shared, that we will be prepared to work. That we will not be discouraged if we walk away with more questions than we do with answers. But that we will be committed to really listening, to allowing God's word and his message to take root in our hearts, in our minds, and let it transform our own view of reality. So let me pray. Oh God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that we can read the very words that Jesus spoke so many years ago. And God, I thank you that they still hold power. That yes, we're a different group of people and we live in a different situation and we don't fully understand the context, but God, I thank you that there is power in your words. God, I thank you that you invite us to partner with you, that we do play a role in understanding your kingdom, in bringing your kingdom. And so God, I pray that you will just fill us with such enthusiasm to really understand your message, to have ears to hear, that we will be committed to studying, to meditating, to allowing your words to just work in us and through us. God, may we be excited to then go out and share that message with those around us and give us just the joy, the encouragement to continue doing it even when it feels like it's not working, even when we're frustrated and tired. God, I thank you that your word is powerful and that you are the one who is working in the hearts of people. So thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that we can look to your example for every part of life. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.